Hello and welcome to Assembly Audible. I'm your host, Valerie King, multimedia editor with Assembly Magazine. I'm joined today by Tammy Hedgren, manufacturing lead, large tractors and combines with John Deere. She's been with the company since 1996 when she joined as a co-op student at the John Deere Des Moines Works location, and Tammy now works at the John Deere headquarters in Moline, Illinois. She joined the Women in Manufacturing Association's board of directors in April, so congrats, Tammy, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, can you start off by talking about your role with John Deere? What are you responsible for, and what does a typical day entail for you?
Sounds great. So I'm responsible for strategic manufacturing and the execution at 7 global factories for large tractors and combines, as you mentioned. So the factories, in terms of where they're located, we've got 2 in the US, 2 in Brazil, Germany, Spain, and Israel. That's my responsibility. And my day-to-day, as you can imagine, is never the same, just like probably everybody who's listening in. I like to focus my time in 4 areas. The first one is new product portfolio alignment with the overall team to ensure the manufacturing strategy is executed. And our goal in manufacturing is to provide and deliver a differentiated value to our customers and business. The second one is making adjustments in our manufacturing strategies. For example, our core competencies, as well as new technologies, smart connected factory, which is really our digital transformation, or even location. The third one is, as you can imagine, tactical execution. And over the last year and a half, it's been crazy with COVID around the globe. And what we want to make sure is our employee safety is our first focus. And then, of course, making sure we can deliver to our customers for what they need to be able to harvest or plant in season as well. And the last one, definitely not least, is employee engagement and also employee development.
Now let's talk about your election to the 2021 WIM Board of Directors. How does it feel to hold this position, and what are some of your key objectives?
So I'm really excited. It's such an honor to be part of an organization that holds such similar values to John Deere. You know, WIM looks to empower women, and they do this by building an association that drives diversity, equitable and inclusive environments. And WIM is the only association that I know of that focuses year-round on employee development, supporting and empowering and inspiring women that have chosen manufacturing as a career path. So at John Deere, we really value diversity of thought. And if you look at the organizations that we associate with, whether it's SWE, Society of Women Engineers, or WIM, or many others across the organization, we're always looking to partner with those kind of resources that can really enhance and continue to grow our relationships and development of our employees. I personally want to recruit, develop, and retain diverse perspectives to drive innovation. And it's about empowering women not only to lead, but to thrive, truly thrive in operations and manufacturing.
Now, only 1 in 3 manufacturing pros and 1 in 4 manufacturing leaders are women. And that's according to a 2020 Women in Manufacturing benchmark study. You're among those women. So in your opinion, what work needs to be done to ensure women enter the manufacturing industry and advance?
So I started reflecting on this, and, we need to, whether you're an association or whether you're an organization or part of the community, we need to make sure that we're reaching out to girls early in their schooling. So, for example, at John Deere, we partner with SWE and we do something called Introduce a Girl to Engineering. And if I reflect back on my personal experience, my family owned their own business. I was the first to go to college. And it wasn't until my math teacher said to me, "You're really good in math and science. What do you think about engineering? I'd like you to explore this engineering camp." I would have never in a million years thought about the opportunity. And it started with my teacher in school. And so that's how I think we need to play a part at the beginning when girls are young, just to make sure that they get a chance to explore and learn about the possibilities. And then, once you actually enter the career, we need to make sure that we're supporting women to be successful. I'm really proud of an organization that we started internal to Deere. It's you know, it's the new moms group. You know, when you have your first baby, there's a lot of challenges that come through, personal and work related. And that's just one example, but we've got to make sure, whether male or female, that there's critical milestones in people's lives and their careers that we need to support in our organizations and our companies. The other portion I would throw out there, we also started what we call Men of Diversity Partner. When most of the managers are men, we need to make sure that they are just as much of an advocate for women as they come up. And I was just reflecting on this the other day, and I was talking to one of my team members, and he just went through the program, and his comment was, his big lessons learned is, you know, my lesson was, you know, I can have a biased thought, and that's my first thought, but I better not have it happen twice, and I better not act on it. You know, so all of us, doesn't matter who you are, all of us have biases. And it's if we can trigger it, understand it, and act on it in a good way, not a negative way, that really drives the organization to a different level and appreciates that. So we do need not just women, but also men advocating and really being part of the solution as we move forward. And then last but not least, it's important to have people as role models that look like you throughout the organization as well. And so we've got to make sure that we're taking risk and making sure that we're developing people that don't look like us, or that look like us in this case, to be able to reach their fullest potential.
Now, that same study I referenced, the 2020 Women in Manufacturing Benchmark Study, found the agricultural industry is one of the most optimistic regarding the advancement of women in manufacturing. And of course, agriculture is a key vertical for John Deere. So what's your take on that finding? How optimistic are you about the advancement of women, particularly in agricultural manufacturing?
So I'm clearly optimistic. Okay, so that study actually found 84% of women surveyed in the ag manufacturing sector were optimistic, and I'd be part of it. You know, all I have to do is look around our own company and our organization. We have about a dozen factories in the US in total for John Deere. And out of those factories, six are ran by women. So I see it right around us in every day. And the thing is that our leadership should reflect our customer base, our community bases. And that's how you get the value of diversity of thought and truly innovation. So yes, I'm optimistic, and I expect that ratios to continue to climb to really set the stage for our community and our customer as a reflection.
Now, your time with John Deere stretches back 25 years, and over that time, you've steadily moved up the ranks. Have you experienced moments in which being a woman presented additional hurdles? And if so, how do you overcome those?
Okay, so of course, you know, one of my most difficult times in my career was 21 years ago. And it was when I was talking to my manager that I was pregnant. And my manager told me that I chose my career, that being a mother would be my career. And as you can imagine, that was extremely devastating. And yes, at the time, maybe I should have reported it. Okay, I didn't. I would suggest if anything like that happened now, people report it. But I know our company is completely different now than what it was back then. But yet, when I reflect on it, it was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I ended up transferring within Deere, getting a diverse background in another functional area. And if I pay it forward, what I saw was the feedback that constantly came back to me is, wow, I can't believe you had multiple factories, multiple functional opportunities that really made me who I am. You know, but really, I think everybody is going to have some kind of barrier. No matter what, you're going to have some kind of barrier, whether personal or work related in your career in some aspect. It's how you manage through them. And my perspective, there's always a way. And you got to figure out the way, and you've got to figure out how to manage it. And that's why you have coaches and peers and mentors and team members to help you manage through that. For me, it's also on how you pay it forward. So when I went through that situation 21 years ago, now if I pay it forward, that's also why I started the New Moms Group, is because I didn't want anybody to have to go through conversations where they didn't know how to how to manage work-life balance or how to tell a boss for the first time that they're expecting. We need to set people up for success. And I personally am proud in my 25 years to see at Deere the significant culture change that we've had that really embraces diversity of thought and how each of us can be part of the journey.
Thanks so much for sharing that. And it's so cool to hear how it came full circle. And like you said, you're paying it forward with the new moms group. I love that. So now about what John Deere is up to manufacturing wise. You've said, according to what I've read, that the next manufacturing revolution is right in front of us. So can you highlight how your company is embracing this idea, specifically through the intersection of 5G and your factories?
Thank you for the question. You know, the manufacturing revolution ahead of us is a passion of mine. Our factories handle large quantities of data over a long distance with thousands of devices. 5G, along with edge computing, as well as video analytics, can help us support connecting these devices to the next level. We want to leverage data to support predictive insights for the future. And how we can leverage data to drive these insights is really what I'm referring to as the next revolution. It's right in front of us, and it's how do we connect it to bring those insights to life.
Following up on that, what kinds of implications could the 5G work that John Deere is doing have on the streamlining of factories beyond you guys at John Deere for product assembly across industries and around the world?
You know, we're in the early stages of our pilot starting in 2022, and 5G, again, is just one small portion of the puzzle piece to enable the factories for the future. But we do see how 5G linked with, you know, edge computing and so forth can really help us on a couple mid and long-term type projects, such as autonomous part delivery. When you're talking about huge factories, that's the challenge, is how do you enable that going across? And then real-time material location systems, as well as live video analytics to be proactive. Just to give you a few examples, that's how I think it's going to allow the speed and enablement to take it to the next level. No matter what industry you're in, the cost will continue to come down.
To broaden that even further, in addition to 5G, are there any other advancements you haven't already noted that you would deem noteworthy for the near future of manufacturing?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, power of data and analytics will allow us to be predictive. This is really, the data is the big future for us, and it's the game changer. But two more areas that I would highlight. The first one is automation. Yes, we've used robots in the past, okay, and we'll continue to use robots, but I really think it's all about the collaborative robots and the autonomous delivery that's really the next steps in our factories. The last one I'd highlight is new materials and methods to really drive the designs to the next level. Not only for the designs, but it's our end customer that this is all about, right? Do they want lightweight in the field on a tractor or in a combine, right? It's about how can we really drive this to the next level with additive manufacturing, lightweight materials, or new adhesives would be some examples of that as well.
All right. Well, thank you for your time and insight, Tammy. Before we go, where can our listeners connect with you or learn more about manufacturing at John Deere?
First off, you can learn more anytime at John Deere at deere.com. And also you can follow me through LinkedIn as well, as I continue to be part of WIM and John Deere as well. So please, please, any questions that I can help with, please feel free to reach out.
Thank you. For more episodes and insights on assembling discrete parts into finished products and the people behind it all, visit our website, assemblymag.com. This has been Assembly Audible. Thank you for listening.